questions asked, the description that the Goswamis give of the relationship of the Kinkri, Mesur, and Sarvarani, the Mantris, Dasis, Kinkris, they're very loyal to Arani. And Krishna tests their loyalty. Ujjva Nila Mani, there's an example of Mani Mantri. She's tested by Lita Sakhi. They make arrangements for Krishna to enjoy with Mani Mantri. Mani Mantri turns down Krishna's offer. Says, no, I'd rather see you enjoy with Radharani. It gives me more happiness. I don't have any desire to be intimate with you. I give you everything, but I can't give my body to you. That's the example of loyalty. So it's this loyalty the Mantris have towards Krishna, towards Radharani. It's just necessary for the disciple to have a loyalty towards his guru. Obviously, loyalty has a different definition in these two different spheres of influence. In the spiritual world, Mantri and Radharani, and the Sadhguru, Guru, and the Shishya. But loyalty, the principle of loyalty functions there also with the disciple and the guru. But it's in terms of loyalty to the teachings of the guru, loyalty to the philosophy of the guru, loyalty to the parivara that the guru represents, loyalty to Gaudiya Vaishnavism. So how we express our loyalty, our loyalty is expressed by our chastity to follow the rules and orders of the guru. Loyalty involves chastity. So the Mantris are chaste to Radharani. They don't enjoy Krishna. That's chastity. They don't enjoy anyone, actually. Everything they have is for Radharani's pleasure. So a disciple may be a man or a woman disciple. So that loyalty doesn't work like man, woman loyalty, husband and wife loyalty. It works in loyalty in terms of faith and teachings and carrying out the orders and instruction of the guru. That means loyalty, faith. So it's yes, of course the answer is yes. The seva should be loyal to his guru. So the seva goes here and there, hears every harikata, everything. It's not very chaste. It's called, they say that term is used, not very chaste disciple. Doesn't mean the disciple's having illicit relationships with someone. So that's one meaning of non-chaste. It means like man, woman, chastity, unchaste. A virgin girl is chaste because she doesn't enjoy with any man. But a married girl or independent woman maybe does different things like that. So but chastity doesn't mean it's not a relation to that, to morality, it's relation to philosophy and respect to the guru. That's why you just like, you know, when you choose a partner, a woman or a man chooses a partner for a wife or husband, one of the issues that comes up is loyalty. We'll discuss that. You meet some guy, love him, you want to get married, say, are you you going to be just with me, or are you going to, you have a record, you have a record of being here and there with everybody else. So marriage means loyalty to the wife. This is morality, is loyalty, involves loyalty also. And the husband and wife are supposed to be loyal to each other, truthful, loyal. Well, it's a matter of, it's a relationship based on truth and love. Any relationship based on truth and love, the concept of loyalty is also involved. So in a relationship with Shishya and Disciple, there has to be some love there, so there must be some loyalty also. And Prabhupada felt hurt when in 1975-1976 many disciples were coming to Radhakund and hearing from different, not many, but a handful, a few disciples were coming to Radhakund and hearing from different Babaji's. here at the time that spoke English, and Prabhupada heard about it, he was hurt. Why are they doing that? Why did they come to me? Why do they have to go there? So he said they're my disciples, so he felt a certain possessiveness towards them, and he felt that they should trust me and love me enough to confide in me and ask me questions. Why do they go to Raghavan? I'm right here in Vrindavan. They're in Vrindavan. Why do they go off to Raghavan? Why are they afraid to ask me? So there's fear. That's not a relationship of love and trust. Shouldn't be afraid of the person you're supposed to love. You're supposed to love and trust someone. You're afraid of them. When I meet some disciples, they ask me questions. I say, ever had much to ask your guru these questions? Oh, I'm afraid to ask my guru these questions. I heard this many times over the last 50 years being a devotee. I'm afraid of you also, because usually if I get a chance to meet him, I'm not alone. It's in a room darshan. I'm a little embarrassed to ask my questions in a group setting. My guru doesn't meet alone with anybody. He only meets in a group of 10 devotees, whatever. So I feel shy to ask my question. I'm also afraid to ask. I said, why don't you meet him alone? He said, I'm afraid to ask him. Well, I'm not afraid of you. I said, watch out. I'll eat you up. So did I ever show my hats like that, you know? New style. Like Swami hat, Prabhupada's Swami hat, everybody has a Swami hat, you know? That's the style in the early 70s. All the men got Swami hats. Look like Prabhupada. We thought, in the early days, when Prabhupada came to New York City, 66 through 75, like that, we thought it was only Prabhupada had that hat. It's called a Swami hat. Then we came to India. I came to India the first time in 1977. Well, there's always came in 71. I saw hundreds of sellers run down wearing the same hat. They're sold in the Loy Bazaar in the cloth shops. You buy a shadow hat. And really, like old Babaji's used to get old Didi outfits. Get old Didi outfits to make homemade Swami hat out of them. Like winter outfits from the Didi's. Winter outfits are stuffed with cotton, you know. You see, Radharani's got these thick shutters and stuff. It's all cotton inside, like a jacket, you know. And then, so they make a hat that's all thick. And it's like purple with gold jari on it. The guy's got no teeth. He's got a stick. He's walking with a bead bag that was washed 100 years ago, you know. White bead bag was washed 150 years ago. And he's walking. And he looks so cute, you know. He got his D outfit made to a song. Yeah, so I'm dressed for the D cut up. And notice how? You see old Baba's. You don't see many things like that anymore. You see so many beautiful sights like this. Old Baba's walking around like that. Well, not too many of these people around anymore. Vrindavan's changed so much. What made Vrindavan so special was the people you see on the streets. The Brahmins and the Babaji's and the Sannyasis and the widows. And everybody's got, you know, Puma shoes and, you know, iPhones. It's a different group of sadhus. Everyone's got a motorcycle. Every sadhu has a motorcycle. You know, a bullet, you know. I go over to Don the other day. I was there a few months ago. I saw some ISKCON ladies come by on Royal Enfield. I said, well, this is a different kind of Vrindavan than I'm used to. She was real calm. Oh. No problem, you know. The old days, only bicycle rickshaws, no auto rickshaws, no taxis. They had called taxis from Mathura. There was only one taxi in Vrindavan. 1970, 75, 80, 85. They had called taxis from Mathura. Old days.
Quiet.
Very quiet, very quiet. One car a week, every week, one ambassador car would go by Krishna Balan Temple. One car. Coming from Delhi, some taxes. I'm going to look out the window. Oh, that's Goswami from Raghavan Temple. No motorcycles, it's really quiet. You used to come to Mathura on a train and get a tunga, horse cart, to Vrindavan. Now four lane highway. Vrindavan is the memory in the memories of the old people. And they go, the old Vrindavan goes with the see some photos sometimes. What's your question? I answer your question, I don't even know what you're supposed to say.
Loyalty.
Loyalty, yeah. Loyalty, I mean, loyalty is...
devotion.
Loyalty depends on the extent of the bondage between the two persons. The degree of how bound they are, how much love they're sharing between each other, how much trust, how much gratitude they're both experiencing for each other. These will combine together, produce an intense sense of loyalty. Gratitude, trust, and love. You know, you may have an opportunity. Like sometimes someone says, oh, so-and-so is giving a great lecture, why don't you come? And they might say, I don't need to. I'm satisfied. I'm getting everything from this my Guru Maharaj. That's nice, you go, I'm not inspired. So maybe that's because of loyalty. Maybe you're lazy. Maybe you don't want to go. But I think loyalty is an outcome of other factors. It's relationship. You know, someone really loves someone, someone really trusts someone, someone's real grateful. They never want to do anything to upset that person or make that person break their faith, so that creates a sense of loyalty. Like he's a young man, so he goes someplace so some lady might try to seduce him, or he may feel lusty himself. Occasionally it happens, you know, young men feel that way. But he said, remember his wife. He remembers his wife and how much trust she has in him, how much love she has for him, how much gratitude, and he'll feel so much gratitude towards her for everything she's done and given. So he said, he'll control his senses by all those factors. So this is some fleeting passion, some passion overtaking me. Just throw out that mentality, like Brahma. Brahma became crazy about his daughter. He wanted to chase his daughter. But he threw out that mentality. It's described in Second Canto of Bhagavatam. He had a bad mind. His mind went bad. His thoughts went bad. So he threw him off. But Shiva couldn't do that. When Shiva saw Mohini Avatar, he got crazy. He had Parvati on his lap. He threw off his lap. Get lost. Parvati's like his prettiest Mohini. Mohini, of course, is Krishna, so he can't be more pretty than Mohini, but as pretty as Mohini. But Krishna, she can get out, jump. Yeah. He ran all around the Himalayas, you know, all the reaches of medicine. Oh, Oh, I'm not sure. You know, seeing a snowbank in my bed, and she got three like here. Oh, no, Schweier. Well, yeah, who's that lady? That's you. That's that party. Schweier. So, well, you may really embarrass Sheila. So she wasn't too loyal. But it's pretty hard, stiff opposition. Krishna comes to break your vow, you're going to have a hard time. Even my yogi can't resist. Adi yogi, Shiva couldn't resist the temptation, Mohini. Look at Markandeya Rishi. Markandeya Rishi, 11th Kanda Bhagavatam. He was a Shaivite himself. I think so. I'm not sure, I think so, Markandeya Rishi.
That's
what it is, Shaivite. Because there's a place in Jagannath Puri, a holy place called Markandeya Sarovara. And there's a famous Markandeya Ishwara. There's a big Shiva Linga in that holy river, holy lake. In Puri, Jagannath Puri, so called Markandeya Sarovara. I visited there. But he was doing so much tapasya, Mahayas. Indra got nervous, he's going to take Indra's post and kick out Indra. Indra's a post, king of the world. So some jiva had the post of Indra. So this yogi's going to get so much tapa bomb that he kick him out of his post. So he got scared about that. So he sent all these beautiful girls. Ramvaru, Tilotama, Urvasi, the best Miss Universe, Miss Intergalactic Universe, Miss Amaravati.
Yeah.
Amaravati. Amaravati, the capital of Indraloka, Swargaloka, son of Swargadevis. And Margaret said, what? Sheep quality. Bad quality, not good. So out of his head, he just created billions of, hundreds of girls, 10 times more beautiful than them. And they went, you see a baby in the Bhagavatam circle, the ladies have the expression on their face, I can't forget. They were so embarrassed. It's like some, you know, village girls that makes this universe or something. They're so shy and embarrassed, they ran away. And Indra said, well, you break his Ramachari, break his Tawabal. I said, no, man, he has 50 girls with him. He has 50 girls with him. They're 10 times younger than Urvasi. He's your favorite night girl, you know. Favorite number, I'll say. These reasons, I didn't get that one.